And so today we're talking about non-judgment, and I noticed that every time I spoke to anybody about it, I would say, I'm talking about non-judgment, and they would immediately come back to me in the next few moments and say, so you're talking about judgment. And it was a reminder to me that when we say not something, the universe hears the positive. When we say not to judgment, the universe hears judgment. And so I thought I would look at judgment and talk about judgment before I talked about moving beyond judgment. And the story that David just read of the man whose ox died, and that was a tragedy, only the wise man said, maybe no, maybe not, maybe so, maybe not. And then he found a horse, and they thought it was a celebration, and the wise man said, maybe no, maybe yes. And then the horse created a situation where the young man's son broke his leg, and then that was a tragedy again, and then the soldiers came and impressed the young men who were able-bodied into war, and his son was saved. And to all of these situations, the wise men said, maybe so, maybe not. That it is impossible to see from our narrow local perspective what the unfolding will take place. And as we appreciate what's happened, but not judge and build tragedy into what looks like it's going wrong, we can stay open to possibilities that we might not see otherwise. So let's look at the difference between judgment and choice and preference. Suppose there's a fork in the road and you're looking to decide which way you will go. What questions might ask yourself? The first question a lot of people ask is, which is the right way to go? And they make a judgment about which is the right way. And then when they decide turning right is clearly the right way, then all the good people must turn right. And the people turning left must be the bad people. They must be wrong. So maybe we should start thinking about stopping people from turning left. Maybe we should set up a committee or create a law or put people in jail if they turn left. And at that point, you've lost track of the fact that you just wanted to make a turn in the road. You've gotten so caught up in right and wrong and good and bad and doing and not doing in a particular way that you lose track of what it was you set out to do in the first place. Well, choice is different. Choice is when you say, which way is better for me to go right now? It doesn't create a situation where you have to make a judgment about which one is right and which one is wrong. You can just say, either choice is possible, and I'm just going to pick the one that feels better to me in this moment. Preference is even softer than choice. It's saying, you know, either way could be right, and I'm just going to use my intuition and try to intuit which way feels better to me right now. One of those paths may have a message for me, and Spirit may be saying, come this way, come this way. And if I'm quiet and soft about the choice, it will be easier for me to hear that still small voice that's calling to me which way there is. And then, even beyond preference, there might be appreciation. If you come to the fork in the road and you look down a little way down each path, you might see beauty on both paths. And you might say, oh, I really appreciate that I'm going to get to explore the beauty on this path today, but I hope I get to come back here someday and explore the beauty that's on the other path as well. And finally, liberation is the knowing that there's way more than two paths. That even if I'm in the car and the road goes left and right, I could park the car, get out, and go straight, or I could make a U-turn, or I could find lots of other possibilities. So when we judge, we tend to lock ourselves into a right or wrong, black or white, good or bad option. When we move into choices, we allow shades of gray and other possibilities. When we move into preference, we start seeing the colors. We start allowing our yourself to maybe see red and green and yellow. And when we move into appreciation, we start seeing scores of colors. We have a light sapphire to choose from, or a color called hyacinth, or a color called peach. Things all of a sudden get a lot more interesting. And when we get to liberation, we have millions of colors to choose from. We've moved beyond the palette of black and white and good and bad and right and wrong, and recognizing that there's endless variety in this world. There is no single choice in any situation that's the only choice. What Abraham Hicks says is that in everything in the universe, there is that which you want and the lack of it. And judgment is about focusing on that part of it that's the lack of what we want. We have the option always to focus on the wanted within anything and to look for the good, to look for the positive aspects in that. So judgment is about focus. It's about, are we taking a narrow perspective and making things black and white, or are we taking a broader perspective and looking at lots of possibilities and shades and colors and flavors of joy that are available in any moment? Ernest Holmes said, "Wherever we are, every day we drink of the cup we have handed to our fellow men." And so if we hand out the cup of judgment, then we are inviting criticism and judgment in return. Law of attraction brings us what we give out back. Whereas if we soften our focus, if we say, this didn't feel good, whatever this was that happened to me, but I have a different choice. I can look at this situation and say, in the future, if I encounter this situation, what would I like to get from this? What would be a loving response? What would be an open-hearted situation? Eckhart Tolle said, "Judgment is either to confuse someone's unconscious behavior with the who of who they are, or to project one's own unconsciousness into another person and mistake that for who they are." So judgment, in his opinion, is about unconsciousness. It's about amplifying unconsciousness rather than seeing the beauty and the love that's available in everyone. And I don't know about you, but I'm unconscious a lot of the time, more than I would like to be. I noticed this morning I was setting up for breakfast, and I put the coffee on the table and I put milk in it, and I could see the milk in it, but I didn't know if I'd put in the sweetener in it or not. And so I checked the trash can for circumstantial evidence, and I saw the little packets and I knew I'd put it in. But I was unconscious in that action of doing something that's so routine I didn't notice whether I did it or not. And there are so many times during the day when we are doing habitual behavior, and one of our habitual behaviors may be judgmental thoughts. And I noticed today, compared to 20 years ago when I first started studying science of mind, that my mind is really quiet. There's a lot of spaciousness and peace in my mind a lot of the time. And I noticed this month how often there isn't spaciousness and peace in my mind, that all of a sudden I would come around a corner and I would see something and I would make a judgment about it. And I saw specifically in one case where I was dropping my friend off on a Friday night in Boston at the airport, and then having to cross the major part through the tunnels in Boston and to go down to Cape Cod on a Friday night of a holiday weekend. And I needed to drop her off at 5:30, which was directly into the middle of rush hour. And I had previously spent 2 hours in one of those tunnels and under circumstances like that. And I had a strong judgment about that situation. And getting into the tunnel, I discovered that my vibration was right where I last left it. I hadn't shifted it at all. And that night, it took me an hour and a half to get 15 miles. And that was very uncomfortable because it was 15 miles to the nearest bathroom and I had been driving since Maine. So I really noticed that I had maintained for, it's got to be 20 years since I drove in rush hour traffic to the airport on a Friday night in Boston, but it was still very much in my mind that that was how it had to be. And the truth is that that was not how it had to be. I could have stopped somewhere and had dinner and let the traffic go by. I could have made any number of other choices. I could have parked and stayed at the airport for an hour. I could have done lots of other things, but I didn't. I just chose to be uncomfortable for quite a while. And it reminded me that I am always at choice, and that sometimes in my unconsciousness I make a judgment and I live out that judgment again and again and again, and that I can make other choices, but until I see that I can make another choice, I don't really feel like I have a choice. So it's powerful to see how that judging of that situation was going to repeat an experience I had had previously that wasn't pleasant for me. Confucius said, to be wronged is nothing unless you continue to remember it. That is a really powerful, powerful statement. And Catherine Ponder said, when you hold resentment toward another, you are bound to that person or condition by an emotional link that is stronger than steel. Forgiveness is the only way to dissolve that link and get free. And I made some paper dolls. You guys know how to make paper dolls? It's a fun sort of thing. And I cut my paper dolls today and ended up with two patches of paper dolls that were connected to each other in all kinds of different ways. I didn't attend that, but it made it really more interesting than it usually would have. These paper dolls are joined at the hands. These are joined at the hands and feet. These are joined just by 1 foot. Lots and lots of different ways of connecting and joining. But when we remain in judgment about somebody, we are joined to them eternally. We are not free. There is no liberation in the continuing of the judgment. So whatever we can do to soften that judgment and find another way of looking at the situation frees us to have a new experience, not only just with that person, but with another person. Because I bet that if I were in another city on Friday night before a holiday weekend going through a tunnel, I would have much the same experience, because we tend to generalize our experiences if we don't look at them consciously. And I discovered a while back that in working with some of my clients who were having trouble holding on, that if I had them imagine or actually cut out paper dolls and then take a scissors and cut themselves free of all of these places where they were emotionally attached to others, that then with the freedom they could uncut each of the players and then play paper dolls with the players. You know, this person I would like to be really close to. In fact, I would like to hug this person. I don't want to be in judgment at the end of the arms. I want to be close to this person. This person, though, I'm not sure I want to be around this person much. I think I'll distance myself from that person and reserve them for later. Maybe someday I'll appreciate them more than I do today. But I see this person kind of out there on the periphery of my life. Whereas these people, I like these people. I'd like them to be hanging around places that I go, people that I see. And this one I'd like to see often. This one I'd like to go play with every Tuesday night. And this one I'd like to see at study group. And, it's so fun when we have a circle at study group. And all of a sudden, that I feel free to be in any kind of relationship with these people. And I can choose how I want to see them. And I can see them all as God and bless them if I put them over here, or bless them if I bring them close. but I have the freedom to bless them all on their way and know that there is a beautiful, perfect path for each of them, that they are God expressing. And like me, sometimes they're conscious and sometimes they're unconscious. But all of them are God in expression, just like I am. To the degree that I am open to the truth of my being today, I radiate light. But some days I do, and some days I'm not so good at it. Some days I'm cranky. And to be less judgmental of myself for those times when I don't live up to the brilliant, beautiful, radiant person that I want to be, but to allow the fact that sometimes I do get caught up in the situation of the moment, and that there will be times when I'm angry or upset, that really helps me be kind, both to myself and to other people, to bless them wherever they are, to bless myself wherever I am today, and to remember that we're all alike. We are all to some degree conscious and to some degree unconscious, and we all act from different places at different times. And for me, what I want is to bring myself to a higher place of connection more and more. I want to live from that conscious place as much as possible. And so spiritual practices allow me to move into a place of peace more often, where I do feel that spaciousness in my mind and my heart, where I do feel an openness in my life, where I am eager to hug more and more people, where I am seeing the beauty in the places that I go and the things that I do and the wonder of whatever path I choose. Abraham Hicks has a analogy that they use, that we have this desire to travel from Phoenix to San Diego, but a lot of times we get stuck in Yuma and we lose our sense of direction, and here we are in the desert where we don't want to be, and we don't know how to get to San Diego, and we end up going back to Phoenix by mistake. And one of the things that they said recently that was so powerful is that every path leads to San Diego if you're in the right mood. And so what we get to do is moderate our mood. We get to look for the things in this, whatever it is, person, situation, organization. We get to look for the things that we appreciate and liberate ourselves from all those ties of judgment that surround us. Doesn't mean we don't get to have preferences. It doesn't mean we don't get to make choices. But it does mean that we look to ourselves for the choices that we make, that we stop trying to make choices for all the other people in the world, and we focus on the choices we make and the ones that feel better to us. David Hawkins, I talk about all the time, and he created this map of human consciousness that describes how it feels to be in different states of consciousness and how you look at the world from different states of consciousness. And he starts out with shame at 20, and it moves all the way to enlightenment at 1,000. And so scale runs from 0 to 1,000, with 0 being insufficient energy to sustain life and 1,000 being enlightenment and pure consciousness. Everything under 200 on this scale is associated with negative emotion. It feels bad in some way, fear or anger or guilt. The lower levels, guilt, shame, apathy, grief, are about victimization and feeling judgmental about yourself, not feeling yourself as bad or wrong or in a place of vulnerability and loss. And as you get into anger and vengefulness, then you are looking at blaming others and judging others. But when you get to courage, you have the opportunity for empowerment. You get to empower yourself and free yourself from this bondage that you've taken on of judgment of yourself or others at the lower levels. And so you move into neutrality, which is detachment. It's saying it's not such a big, hairy deal. Maybe so, maybe not. And you just allow things to be as they are rather than trying to force them into a certain mold. Beyond that is acceptance, which is harmonious. It transcends the situation. And beyond that is reason. It allows logic to tell you about more about understanding. It's so much easier to be less judgmental of someone else if you understand and see that you too are unconscious some of the time, and that you can allow unconsciousness in others because you identify it with yourself. You know that we are all like that, and it's okay that we don't all have to be perfect. We move into love when we see and look at others with reverence and respect. When we see within them the face of God, and we gently know and love in an open-hearted way that everybody's doing the best they can, and that everything is unfolding perfectly, whether we see it or not, from our narrow perspective. There is a place where we come to trust that there is a bigger picture unfolding, and that we don't have to take on all the problems of the world or all the problems of other people, that it's enough that we work on our own consciousness and we take our inspired action to help other people in ways that we can see. And ultimately, peace and joy are the ability to see the oneness of all life and the perfection of it from the divine perspective. And in the divine perspective, according to Ernest Holmes, there is only love. We are not judged by spirit. We are only loved, nurtured, and supported. And that we are always moving into that place of divine judgment when we judge righteously, when we see the beauty, when we see the power, when we see the light in other individuals. And ultimately, enlightenment is just knowing that what is all God. What is all one. What is good and is full and complete. So when I look at this map of human consciousness, it helps me know where I want to go. And it helps me know what the next step is. If I'm in fear, as you look up, the next step might be anger, because I need to free myself from the judgment of myself as vulnerable by getting angry at someone else. And then move into neutrality and remember that whatever I'm seeing is law of attraction. Abraham said something really powerful this last week that I wrote down. Let me find it. I had 11 pages of typed notes and 4 pages of notes when I started last night weaning all of this. But what Abraham said is that, I don't see it on here, it's somewhere. Here it is. It's so much better if you use the criteria of how it feels than whether you are right or wrong. Then you begin to realize there is no actual fact about anything. In other words, everybody is right, because whatever they believe, law of attraction brings it to them. And so when you look at the fact that everyone's acting from their experience of law of attraction, that whatever they believe, they are experiencing. If they believe they're a victim, they're experiencing victimization. If they believe that a whole certain group of people are offensive, they will always be offended by those people, no matter how they're treated by those people, because their filter is showing them offense. And the one consciousness you have control over is your own. If you can use your consciousness to move beyond the narrow perspective, then you change the consciousness of all of humanity. And every time we make a decision to move beyond judgment into a nicer place of understanding or kindness or love, every time we become more conscious, when we let go of that unconsciousness in our awareness and we move into consciousness and we choose to come from our heart in love, we shift the consciousness of the whole. And the future of humanity looks different. That's what I believe. Every single one of those choices. And what I learned for myself this past month is that I need to make that choice maybe 100 or 200 times a day sometimes. But it's worth making that choice each time. Because the more I make that choice, the more beautiful thoughts I have available to me. Law of attraction brings me evidence of people's goodness and kindness and grace and beauty and power and love. And I begin to see more clearly the qualities of God everywhere. And I begin to hear more loudly in my head those judgmental thoughts that constrict rather than expand. And so in that awareness, in that, and I don't usually like the word humble, because it implies humiliation to a lot of people. But Ernest Holmes said that humble, originally translated from the Aramaic, meant teachable, not humiliated. And to be open myself, to know that I haven't got it all. There's always more, as Phil said this morning, that we have the opportunity to tweak it so that we are more open, we are more capable of loving. As we see that there's always more to expand into, we allow ourselves to be teachable, to see more clearly, to know more peacefully, to know more truly the beauty of all of life. So I'm really grateful to the study group for giving me the opportunity to speak about judgment and non-judgment and moving into greater love and liberation, because I feel freer today than I did a month ago. Thanks to you all. Thank you.